Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
If you have your Bibles with you, you can go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 9. If you have the Cornerstone app, you can follow along in the notes there. We will have a few scriptures up on the screen behind me. Let's just settle in to allow God's word to transform our hearts. Father, I pray that you would help me to communicate your truth in your word. Go beyond, so far beyond my ability to communicate. God, I pray your Holy Spirit would touch our hearts and lives as you would speak to us through your word in Jesus' name. There's a man who was very dangerous to the cause of Christianity. He was intentionally antagonistic towards us. In fact, if he had his way, he would imprison anyone who would identify as a follower of Christ. He had the position that Christians, that Christ followers had to be stopped. He saw us as a threat, as a disease that needed to be eradicated. His name was Saul of Tarsus. And his conversion story that we're going to look at is found in Acts chapter 9 and also in Acts chapter 22 when he recounts the story of what took place in Acts chapter 9. And even though we're going to look at his story and he is the central figure of his story, there's someone else in his story that I want to draw our attention to. It's someone that I admire, but I don't really know. I don't know much about him. Sometimes people can have a profound impact and influence in our lives in just a short moment. In just a meeting, a short interaction, they can have a profound influence and impact in our lives. And this man has done that for me. My hope is by the time we get to the end of my talk, that he will have an impact somehow, some way in your life today. In the Bible, we find three people named Ananias. The first is a man who's married to a lady named Sapphira. They show up early in the book of Acts. They lie about a business transaction and a gift given to the church. They lie not just to people, but they lie to the Holy Spirit. Things do not end well for them. The third Ananias shows up at the end of the book of Acts, and he is appointed as the high priest. But it's the second Ananias in order that I want to talk to you about. He's a disciple of Christ. He's obedient to God, and in fact, he risks his life to be obedient to the Father, and that's who I want to talk about today. The Bible teaches us that Saul, we're about to look at in Acts chapter 9, Saul was present when the first recorded martyr in the New Testament was stoned to death. Stephen was stoned to death for testifying of Jesus. And Saul was there, and Scripture tells us he was approving of it all. He gave it the nod. He was present and thought, this is what should happen. This is a disease that needs to be eradicated. Christians need to be stopped. These Christ followers, these who were of, and he would refer to it as the way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the light. Those who were of the way. And even though he was present during Stephen's execution, Stephen was stoned by a mob in a frenzy. It just happened. And so even though Saul was approving of this, he knew that this couldn't be the way they were going to make any progress. The Romans, this would have a lifespan of this kind of execution. And so he knew that he needed to go through authority, through channels, to have a plan. Needed some organization. And so the first step, he went and he got warrants for arrests of people. Anyone who was of the way, secured warrants from the leaders of the church in Jerusalem to arrest anyone, men or women, who were of the way. And the warrant actually entitled him to not only take these people from where they are and bring them to Jerusalem, but actually to bind them in chains, to put them in first century handcuffs, and bring them bound, men or women, to Jerusalem to face trial. See, Jesus had said, just before he ascended to heaven, he told his disciples, go everywhere. Get out of here. Go everywhere with the message of the gospel. It shows up in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. That word witnesses, it means, it doesn't just mean testify in court. It means I'll give you the power to lay your life down for my sake. The word we get from it is martyr. And so we see unfolding in the book of Acts right away with Stephen, and then on and on, the martyrs. But I will give you power. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And when Jesus gave that command, he ascended, some people went. But at the execution, at the stoning of Stephen, Scripture tells us that then great persecution arose. Stephen's stoning was a catalyst, was a trigger. That great persecution arose, and then the disciples who were in Jerusalem were scattered. Listen to what it says in Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Now Saul was consenting to his death. This is talking about Stephen. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except for the apostles. The apostles stayed in Jerusalem. See, this persecution, it actually was the catalyst to help them fulfill the Great Commission. Instead of being displaced like refugees, they were scattered like seed. And they went as missionaries and took the message of the good news of the gospel to these regions. And what took place is that message began to grow. That seed of God's word began to be planted in people's lives and grow. And disciples, people were turning to Christ. And so they're scattered, and so this person, Saul, says, we can't just stay in Jerusalem. We've got to go out and bring these people back here, bound in chains, to stand trial, to at least, at the very least, to deter them and punish them, and at the very most, to execute them and end this. How appropriate to bring them back to Jerusalem where they tried Jesus and crucified him outside of the city. This plan formulates for Saul. He travels just a little bit north of 200 kilometers up to Damascus, and this is his mission. He is going to bring these people back, bound in chains, to be on trial, to be punished. And our story unfolds here, Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Then Saul, breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if they found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting? It doesn't say the church. He says, why are you persecuting me? And many preacher-type people have talked about how personally Jesus takes it when you persecute the church. His bride. His bride. And he says to Saul, why are you persecuting me? Verse 5. And he, Saul, says, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And then, and the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, but when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drank. Saul had an encounter with Jesus. And when it was over, he was blind. Physically blind. So many people came to Jesus who were blind and they left seeing. That was not his story. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once could see, but now I'm blind. That was Saul's song. And we're introduced in a moment in verse 10. We're introduced to a man who we only see for a brief moment. We see this once. And Saul will talk about him later in life. But we too, may we be impressed and impacted, influenced by this man's life. Verse 10 says this. Now there was a disciple, a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision he's seen a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. A certain disciple, there were other disciples in Damascus. Saul wasn't just going to Damascus over 200 kilometers to bring back one guy. There were more disciples there. But there was a certain disciple that Jesus spoke to. Jesus speaks to all of his disciples. But he talks to us about different assignments, different missions, different mandates that we have in different places. And that's what he did with Ananias. He spoke to him very specifically. When Jesus speaks to us, may we have that same response. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I wonder how much our lives would change and perhaps our world would change is when Jesus calls our name, we just say, Here I am. I'm open, I'm available, here I am. So the Lord speaks to Ananias, and that's what he says, Here I am. And then the Lord speaks and says, I want you to go. And he says, Yes, Lord. He says, I want you to go to Straight Street. Yes, Lord. I want you to go to the house of Judas. Yes, Lord. For there's a man named Saul of Tarsus there. Uh-huh. And he's praying. Well, good for him. And he's seen a vision that Ananias is going to come. Really? I don't know any other Ananiases. Ananias who? Oh. Verse 13. He's about to tell the Lord, you know, it might actually be better if this guy stays blind for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the kingdom. How about we just let this ride out? Verse 13, Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, watch this, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once. He rose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened, and Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. I love how Ananias was listening, and I love how he was available. When the Lord spoke, he said, Yes, Lord. And then went. Had a brief conversation. Are you sure? Okay. He went into the lion's den. He went into the fiery furnace. See, when it says that he went to the house of Judas, can you just think through this story with me for a little bit? Saul's on the road to Damascus. He's headed there to bring people bound, those who were of the way, those who were Christ followers, to bring them bound to prison. And the people traveling with him were helping assist him with that. So when he cannot see anymore, he's led by the hand into Damascus. Where do you think that they're going to lead him? They didn't hear the voice. They heard something. Maybe like the baptism of Jesus. They hear thunder. They don't hear the words. Whatever it is, they couldn't articulate what was said to him. So he would have to relate that. But where are they going to lead him? Probably not to the house of a believer. In fact, when we discover that he's at Judas's house, God is not just speaking to anyone at Judas's house. He has to speak to someone else to come to pray for Saul. And so Ananias, we'll find out later in Acts chapter 22, we'll find out that he's got a good reputation with the believers. We'll find out that it will be safe for him to go there to be at Judas's house. He's got a good reputation with the Jewish people, but certainly not with Saul and not with those who Saul has brought with him. And so there is a risk. And somehow Jesus continued to speak to Ananias and tell him what happened to Saul on the road. Now, whether he heard it, whether he heard the news, or whether Jesus revealed it to him, we don't know. It doesn't say. But when he walks in and lays his hands on him, before he lays his hands, he says this, "Brother Saul." And he extends fellowship to someone who had a reputation. He extends fellowship. The disciples in Jerusalem are not going to do that. When Saul shows up in Jerusalem, they offer the warm foot of fellowship, not the warm hand of fellowship. But Ananias shows up. Saul needed Barnabas to come and be an advocate to stand with him when he goes to Jerusalem. Ananias walks in the door and says, "Brother Saul." And even before Saul is healed, Ananias welcomes him to the family. And this is an amazing moment for Saul, because Ananias will say this, "The same Jesus who spoke to you spoke to me. That same Jesus who said, you go into the city, I'll tell you what you need to do, that same Jesus told me to come speak to you." And this is an amazing lesson for Saul as he discovers how Christianity works. Jesus speaks to his disciples, and his disciples go. Jesus speaks to his, he is having firsthand modeling this for him right here, right now, even risking his own life. What happens if Ananias would not have gone? Would have God send somebody else? Maybe. We don't know. What happens if we don't go? Will God send someone else? Maybe. We don't know. As Shauna was talking today about the Lilac Festival and the outreach that we're a part of, I was chatting with John Fleck yesterday. He said, "Barry, I'm sorry I'm not going to be at church on Sunday." He told me that last week. He said, "I'm going to the Lilac Festival. I'm going to be there the whole time sharing my faith." And then last night I was with him, and he said that again, I'm going to be there for the whole time. And I said, "John, well, you've got two options." I said, "You can come to church and hear about how we should go tell people, or you can go tell people." I said, "Get out of here. Where you go? Go make a difference. Take the light to dark places." And as much as I value church and our gathering, I know there's people who are doing both. Let's not just talk about it. Let's go into all the world and make disciples. But this last part of the message that I want to share with you, we're going to jump all the way to Acts chapter 22, as Saul is going to rehearse what happened. We're now going to hear what he says about the story. We're not just going to read the story as it unfolded. He's going to recount it for us. Now, the amazing part is he's speaking to a Jewish mob who are not happy with him. And he will start off in Acts chapter 22. He will start off with the exact same words that Stephen did. He will say, "Fathers and brothers, listen to me." And he says, that's how Stephen started before he was martyred in front of a mob. Now there's a gathering of people angry at Saul, and he says these words, "Fathers and brothers, listen to me," or "hear me now." Verse 4 says this, and he begins to unfold his story. And we're going to read this. I'll say a couple of things. We're going to pray. And then Mark's going to come and share with us. Verse 4, I persecuted this way. Do you remember those who were of the way, these Christ followers? I persecuted this way to the death. See, this isn't figurative. This isn't just somehow a story. To the death. When he was breathing murderous threats. He tells us, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. And then he says, also the high priest bears me witness that, and all the council of the elders, from whom I received letters to the brethren and went to Damascus to bring in chains even those who were there in Jerusalem to be punished. Now it happened as I journeyed, I came near Damascus about noon. You ever been in the Judean noon sun? It's bright, but so much brighter than that was the glory of the Lord that shone on him. Suddenly a great light shone from heaven, shone around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said, arise, go into Damascus, and there you'll be told all the things which are appointed for you to do. Since I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came into Damascus. And this is what I want you to see. This is him telling about his encounter with Ananias. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law. He's speaking to the Jews. He's talking to them about how devout he was, Ananias. Having good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me, and he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. At that same hour I looked upon him. Then he said, The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will, to see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. Ananias is talking specifically about the encounter on the road to Damascus. God our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will, see the just one. He's talking about Jesus. You saw him and it cost you your physical sight. And hear the voice of his mouth. Now watch verse 15. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. Now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Ananias, he's the first person Saul saw. Opened his eyes. This man who is living out the testimony of Christianity, Jesus' disciples, hear his voice and obediently go. And Ananias says this to Paul, and I want you to see this. Ananias says this to Paul, to Saul, he's not yet Paul, going by his Roman name, Paul. Ananias says to Saul, for you will be his witnesses. It's the same thing that Jesus said about the day of Pentecost, and you will be witnesses unto me. It's the same calling, telling Saul, you will be my witness. You'll lay your life down for my sake. And that martyring, that some of it was physical. Certainly we saw that for the disciples who were martyred. But for all of us, we lay our lives down. Jesus will tell us that if we seek to save our life, we'll lose it. But if we lose our lives for his sake, we will find it. That we're called, all of us, to lay our lives down for Jesus. And here we are at the close of this message. But Ananias, he's like a vapor. He appears for a brief moment. And now you know everything there is to know in Scripture about Ananias. Those two passages, one where it unfolds and the second where Paul recounts it. But I hope that this man, this Christ follower, will somehow teach us in this brief moment of seeing him these four things. Number one, like Ananias, may we be devout disciples with good reputations in our community. May we be devout disciples with good reputations in our community. Secondly, may we be listening and hear the voice of God. May our ears be open to the voice of Jesus. Third, may we be available when he speaks. So we live in this availability, this expectancy of hearing his voice. We're open. But when he speaks, may we simply say, here I am, Lord. With a posture already to obey, here I am, Lord. It's like the prophet who say, here am I, send me. Here I am, Lord. And then lastly, like Ananias, may we be obedient to his voice. And in doing so, may we bring the message of the good news by the power of the Holy Spirit to see blind eyes open and then those people commissioned to bring the gospel to the whole world. Amen? Amen. Mark, would you come?
Good morning, church, and welcome to our guests, and welcome to those of you that are watching online today. I want to finish off the service by just talking about God's love. It was on full display this weekend as God placed love in the hearts of Doyen and Caitlin, and it ended in a wonderful union. But I also want to speak to you about how much God loves each one of us. That is the central theme of this book, is God's love for each one of us. And throughout Scripture, God is calling us. And if you felt that calling today and you want to respond, I'm going to say a prayer in just a few moments where you can dedicate or accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It doesn't matter how good a person we are. It is all about Jesus. And I want to offer you that opportunity today. God tells us about his love through Scripture, and he tells us this in the Bible. He tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." He also tells us that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but rather the world through Jesus would be saved. It's all about love. I never understood that at first. I lived a very immoral life, but God changed that when I read his word and I saw that it was all about his love. And Jesus tells us, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Only one way. So I ask you to be bold today, to be ready to confess with your mouth, as the Bible tells us, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, and so you will be saved. The Bible also tells us that God does not want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance and to salvation. Pastor Barry talked about gifts today. There's the gift of forgiveness, repentance, and salvation. And God is prepared to accept us exactly as we are and to work in us to change. So I'm going to invite you today. And Pastor Barry says it's as easy as ABC, admitting, believing, and confessing. Admitting that you're a sinner, which I did. Believing that Christ died for me, which I do. And confessing that he is my Lord and Savior. So I'm going to ask you today to, and I'm going to encourage you, if you have never accepted Christ in your life, if you want to dedicate yourself to God through accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or if you're rededicating yourself, or if you're unsure if you have accepted Christ, today is your opportunity to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. So I'm going to say this prayer, and again, I encourage you just to repeat after me. Confess boldly. Dear Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. I repent of my sins. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe your Son Jesus died for me and took my sins upon himself. And I believe that God raised him from the dead and that he has come into my life to be my Lord and Savior. And Lord, I accept you and ask you to guide me all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. If you have said that prayer today, or if you said that prayer for the first time, please let somebody know. Let me know. Let Pastor Barry know. Let someone in the church know. And we'd be happy to talk to you, provide you with a Bible, and to just encourage you that this is a new beginning for you. Your sins are forgiven, the slate is wiped clean, and you can start afresh. God wants to have a relationship with you, and he is prepared to work in your life.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together. Thank you.